Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, we'll be continuing with the Treaty with Syria, as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 1. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
When King Asa began his reign in Judah, he initiated certain spiritual reforms, drawing the people back to God. And thus his reign was a period of national prosperity. But then the nation was threatened by a massive invasion of people from the African states, an army of over 1 million men, armed with their chariots, invaded the land of Israel. Asa was outnumbered 2-1. And so Asa sought the Lord. And he said, "Lord, it's nothing for you to help, whether those that are weak or those that are strong. Help us, O Lord, for in your name we're going to go out to face this enemy. Lord, don't let man prevail against you." So he committed himself fully to being on the Lord's side. "Lord, it's in your name we're going out. Lord, we're trusting in you." Asa went out, and the Lord gave to his troops tremendous victory. They routed the enemy, and they were able to take much spoil from war. All of the supplies that had been brought to feed and to take care of the million-man army were captured by Asa. So as they were coming back victorious, happy, wealthy with the spoils of war, the prophet of God came out to meet the victorious armies and gave them the message of the Lord, which basically is, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. The people were thrilled. Asa initiated even further spiritual reforms in the land of Judah and seemed to have a long, prosperous reign. But now, towards the end of his reign, the kingdom has become very strong and very powerful. He has been able to make military alliances with other nations. And in the 16th chapter, we read that in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, that Baasha, the king of Israel, came up against Judah, and they built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. And so the northern kingdom of Israel, King Baasha built this fortified city on the main trade route to stop all supplies coming into Israel from the north. This was a threat to the nation of Judah. And thus, Asa took silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and out of the king's house. And he sent them to Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, who was dwelling at Damascus. And he said, "We have a league between us. It was between your father and my father. And behold, I am sending you silver and gold, and I want you to go and break your league with Baasha, the king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And so Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa. He sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, And they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all of the store cities of Naphtali. And so it came to pass when Baasha heard of this invasion from the north that he left off the building of the city of Ramah, and he let the work cease in order that he might send his troops to the north to defend themselves from this invasion of Syria. Then Asa the king took all of Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith the cities of Geba and Mizpah. So it would seem that the strategy worked. Baasha, the king of Israel, had made this threat of war by building the fortified city. But he, taking the money, bought the help of Syria, who attacked the nation of Israel from the north. That required, of course, the troops that were building this fortified city to go north to defend. And thus they were able to move into this city of Ramah that was being built, take the timbers, the stones, and build a couple of cities for Judah. Successful strategy. He's probably feeling very smug, very proud, able to take care of himself and to save Judah from this threat of the nation of Israel. But at that time, Hanani, the prophet, the seer, came to Asa, the king of Judah, and he said unto him, "Because you have relied on the king of Syria and not relied on Jehovah thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on Jehovah, he delivered them into your hand." And so Asa is being rebuked by the prophet of God. Even though the strategy was successful, the prophet of God is rebuking him for relying upon the arm of flesh rather than relying upon the Lord. Relying upon the mutual defense pacts, upon the treaties. And the prophet reminds him that when he first came into the kingdom in the earlier years, he faced and the nation faced a much greater threat. When the Ethiopians and the Lubims, with 1,000,000 men, 300 chariots, 12,000 horsemen, had come against them. But because you relied upon the Lord gave you the victory over them. Now you've relied upon the flesh, your clever strategies, and you haven't trusted in the Lord. There is always a danger of prosperity, and there's always a danger of success, and there's always the danger of developing military strength and military might. And the danger is that of trusting in the arm of the flesh rather than trusting in the Lord. That idea and that feeling that I can handle it, I can do it, I have found in my own personal life that the Lord wants to give me victory over the areas where my flesh dominates. And the Lord will show to me an area of my flesh that he once brought to the cross. My general tendency is, "Well, Lord, I understand that's got to go. And Lord, I'll take care of it." And I try, and I struggle, and I go through all of the routines, you know, to try to bring that area of the flesh under control. And after a long struggle and defeat, then I cry, "Oh Lord, help me. Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I need your help." And the Lord then takes over. Now, a lot of times I make a mistake at this point. As the Lord begins to take over and begins to free me, I often make the mistake of saying, "I knew I could." And so he lets me fall back and struggle again for a while until I come to that place saying, "Lord, I just can't do it. Lord, it's not in me. Lord, please help me." Paul the Apostle went through this experience in his walk. He describes it in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, where there seemed to be a perverse law that was working within him, that whenever he would do good, evil was present with him, so that the good that he would, he did not do, and that which he would not allow, he was doing. And he went through this struggle until he finally cried, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of flesh?" And in his cry for deliverance from without, he found the answer, and the Lord delivered through the power of the Spirit, Romans chapter 8. Now, you would think that that would be a once-in-a-lifetime kind of experience. I've learned my lesson. I can't do it, but the Lord is able. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so the Lord shows me then another area of the flesh. And I say, "Oh, Lord, I really learned the last time how to do these things. And I can handle this one now." And again, I struggle. And I experience the defeat. I experience my own weakness. I need to come where Paul came, to the realization, "I know in me that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing." God has one edict for my flesh, and that's the cross. "Know ye not that the old man was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be katagero, put out of business?" I have been crucified with Christ, and God has the one edict for my flesh, and that's bring it to the cross, and by the Spirit mortify the deeds of the flesh that I might live. But somehow I am a slow learner in this realm. And it seems that every time that I'm facing a situation, my first inclination is to try to do it myself, and then to experience the failure of myself, crying unto the Lord and finding that he can do what I could not do. And he has done for me so many wonderful things. Now, when I see that it was God that did it and I realize I couldn't do it, I then don't go around bragging on what I have done. All I can do is give glory and give credit to God for what he has done. I can't boast in what I am or what I have done. It was the Lord that has worked in me after my total failure. And thus I can only give the glory to God for the victories that he has wrought in my life in the areas of the flesh. The second effect of this, realizing that it is the Lord, that I could not do it myself, I failed, but the Lord came through and helped me. The second effect of that is I then cannot judge someone else who has the same problem in their flesh. I can't turn up my nose and say, "I don't know how they can just continue doing that." I do know how they can continue doing that. You see, I continued until the Lord took over and delivered me and helped me. And I tried, I cried, I struggled, I vowed, I promised, but all to no avail until the Spirit of God moved in and gave me His strength and His victory. So it keeps me from being judgmental on the weaknesses of others, because I know that apart from the help of God, you just can't do it. Maybe that's why God just lets me keep going through these experiences, so that it keeps reminding me that our body, the body of flesh, is rotten to the core. There's only one thing for it: crucify it. Bring it to the cross and reckon yourself to be dead with Christ, that you might be alive unto God through the Spirit. Asa, in the beginning of his career, recognizing that he was not sufficient to face the huge host of the Ethiopians, called unto the Lord, put himself on the Lord's side, received the help of the Lord. God brought him victory. Now, strong, rich, powerful, the threat comes from the northern kingdom of Israel, and he uses strategies, military alliances, his wealth to buy him out of the problem. And the prophet of God rebukes him for having begun in the spirit. He is now going to try to be made perfect in the flesh. He's going to resort to the flesh. And this is always a dangerous trend. Whenever you fall back into the area of the flesh, the human wisdom, the human strategies, rather than trusting in the Lord, you're putting yourself in a dangerous position. And so the prophet of God comes out. Now, when he came back from victory over the Ethiopians, the prophet of God met him. And he received the prophet of God. The prophet said, "The Lord is with you while you'll be with him. If you seek him, he'll be found of you. If you forsake him, he'll forsake you." Oh, honor the prophet. Praise the Lord. Glory. Let's have a revival, you know. Now the prophet of God comes to him again. He's been victorious once more. The troops have gone out. They've dismantled this fortified city of Ramah. They've built a couple of cities. And the king of Israel has his hands full with Ben-Hadad up in the north. But the prophet comes out again, and this time the prophet rebukes him for relying upon his own strategies rather than relying upon the Lord. And Asa, this time, rather than receiving the word of the prophet, verse 10, he was angry with the seer, and he put him in prison. He was in a rage with him because of this. And he began to oppress some of the people at the same time. Now, you wonder, having begun so well, how could these changes transpire? This is, however, the heart of the message, and I want to go back now to verse 9, which we deliberately jumped. I want to go back because the heart of the message of the prophet gives us an insight into God, into prayer, and into how God gives that revolutionized my own prayer life when I discovered it. In verse 9, this seer, Hanani, said, "For the eyes of Jehovah run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him." And then the prophet said, because you have done this, from now on, man, you're going to have trouble. You have done a foolish thing. And as the result, for the rest of your life, you're going to be troubled. Having trusted in the flesh, trusting in the arm of the flesh, the Lord will just let you paddle your own boat from here on, and it's going to be tough.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we discover that truth can sometimes create anger, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you and strengthen you and bless you and keep you in all your ways as you walk in fellowship with Him. May your life be enriched in the fullness of that mercy and grace that He has extended towards us through Jesus our Lord. God bless you and give you a beautiful week. Strengthened by the Lord, may you abound in all things in Christ. For the glory and the praise and the honor of our God, our Savior and our Lord. In Jesus' name.
The Word for Today presents this year's Prophetic Viewpoint on DVD and MP3 with Pastor Brian Broderson.
So I want to just encourage you tonight, and I want to remind you of a few things that despite all of the negative things that are going on in the world, there's some really good things happening. And the Lord is working powerfully all over the world.
In a collection of messages from Don Stewart and Pastor Chuck Smith discussing world news events in light of what the scriptures declare.
We need to really pray. I don't think that we're beyond God's help. And I think that, as God said, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then would I hear from heaven and I will heal their nation.
To order your copy of this year's Prophecy Update with Pastor Chuck Smith, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org or call us at 800-272-WORD.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.